Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on the program tonight, markets and company news. And welcome back, David Shapiro from Sasfin. David, let's wade straight in. Pick n Pay giving more details today on listing its Boxer unit later this year. And the numbers are fairly staggering. It wants to raise as much as 8 billion rand. That would make it the continent's biggest offering this year in terms of IPOs.
It is, and I think it will be well attended. Boxer, if you look at the preliminary numbers, we still need a lot more detail. It's at the right end of the market. I think, I don't want to call it a challenger for ShopRite, but as things go, as a standalone, you know, I would certainly follow it. I know it's going to be restricted because they're only offloading, about 30%. But I think as time goes by and as they need more money, and believe me, Pick n Pay needs more money, I think more and more shares will be put on the market. But I mean, you know, Jeremy, when you look at those results and then you adjust Pick n Pay for what Boxer contributed, you realize the extent of the problems at Pick n Pay. Mm. It's a long road back.
It is a long road. I mean, if you look at Pick n Pay's numbers, loss after tax widening to 827, let's call it 828 million in the first half from a year earlier. Are you sensing, David, that this Boxer deal could be the Hail Mary that that Pick n Pay needs?
I think it's going to be good for Boxer. I'm not sure what it's going to do to Pick n Pay without Boxer. I think it's going to make it more difficult, but they need the money, you know, and I think that's the reason that they're getting rid of this very good company, is that it's a way for them to raise money to try and save the Pick n Pay brand. Save might be a bit too aggressive, but I mean, it's very difficult to come back from where they are. Jeremy, I've got to, you know, this was an iconic brand, and when I read the numbers, I'm still a little shaken and shattered by the way, you know, where this company is today, having really dominated the industrial scene for so many, many years. But, you know, once you start to bleed like this, once you start to cut back on leases and cut back on shops, it's very, very hard to turn it around again. So Sean Summers, bless him, has got a very tough job ahead of him.
Yeah, I was saying in an interview earlier, the worst is definitely behind us. I guess the jury's out on that. But David, as far as Pick n Pay is concerned, do you think it was just bad decision-making over a period of time, or simply that its rivals like ShopRite just stole a march and were more nimble and more innovative?
I think both. I think number one, ShopRite, you can't ignore how they've grown, very aggressive, the right formula. But I think also a number of bad decisions. You know, we don't want to blame the family. We haven't really got to the source of the problems, but I think they had been mounting up for a long time. You know, and I think it was Hemingway said, you know, you go bankrupt gradually and then suddenly. And I don't want to say they're bankrupt, but I think the problems kind of crept up and then suddenly, were exaggerated or exacerbated. And that was against some very tough competition out there, you know, giving them a run for their money. But Boxer's a way out. Mm. You know, it certainly is a way out. And I expect it to enjoy a very good rating. But I think, Jeremy, this is what we're going to do. We're going to measure what Boxer's market cap is. And if we compare it with Pick n Pay, which I think it's going to be significantly above Pick n Pay, it just shows you that there's a minus valuation being put on the Pick n Pay brand.
David, correct me if I'm wrong. Let's move on to Baldwin Properties.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, it's the largest sectional title developer in the country, reporting a 57% plunge in half-year profit. Did I read that correctly?
You did. And, you know, it's a worry because I've always admired Baldwin, because particularly in our area, I'm talking Johannesburg area, there are a huge number of developments that are made. I don't want to say cheap living, but affordable living is a better way to put it. And they maintain the various projects, always repainting. And this is a concern. And I say it's a concern because you might have seen PPC's numbers coming out as well. because once they start cutting back, of course, it decreases the demand for construction, for materials, for cement. So I was a bit concerned about this issue. I've been watching the company. It's not a massive company, but it is an indication or symptomatic of what's happened here. They do say that higher interest rates have caused, and interest rates here are high, have caused a cutback on demand for housing and, for doing anything in the property market. But this was a little bit of a shake-up result, sure.
David, let's move on to Dis-Chem. There was an announcement, it was either out today or on Friday, wanting to launch a life insurance product in the first quarter of this year. And it says, and I think this is the real understatement here, will significantly disrupt the broader market. It also wants out of a relationship that it's got with Discovery.
If they're doing medical aid insurance, maybe. Life insurance is a different thing. So I would like to see the product and why they're doing this. And I always get worried when everybody wants to go into financial services. Everybody wants to be a bank. They all want to issue financial products. I get worried about it because it's a very crowded space. But I've got respect for Dis-Chem for the way that this company has grown. But life insurance, health insurance, I don't know. I'm reserving judgment.
Reserve judgment, David, but also the company goes on to say, and I quote, it has a deep understanding of the so-called health consumption risks, particularly important to chronic patients who are forced to pay higher premiums because of their conditions. I mean, it's all in the data.
Yeah, it's if they can use that data, if they, Discovery themselves had an innovative project proposition when they first launched, 25 odd years ago, plus I think beyond that. And with a savings account, they felt they knew the way out. So here we're having it again. I like the business. I thought the results were good. And, we'll wait and see. We'll see. When they come around, I'm a Discovery man, and let's see. When I go down to Dis-Chem, let's see what they've said. I like the business and I'm a big user. They're down the road from me. So push the people out the way as we make to the prescription counter. Yeah.
All right, David, finally, you can either answer this question or this question. We're going to answer one of them, okay? One, you can tell us what the market wants to hear in Wednesday's mini budget, or you can tell me about the Arsenal-Liverpool result.
We should have won. We should have won. I don't know. Yeah. I set up to 80 minutes. Yes, yay. And then, oh, no. And then I go into panic mode. But just on the outlook for the medium budget, I think, Jeremy, I don't think anything's going to come out of it, but we will look for any signs of improvement that could have come from the optimism that has followed the election and some of the reforms. So we look for improved revenue and whether expenses are just being controlled. But I don't think there's going to be any policy statements. It's going to be probably another dull affair.
David Shapiro, we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.